Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Arjuna. So, Arjuna won the battle at Khandava against all the gods, and then by the grace of Maya, by the gift of Maya and the arrangement of Krishna, Yudhishthira got a magnificent palace. And at that time, actually, Arjuna went in the north, and he because the four directions had to be conquered, so Arjuna went in the north, and many different kings he faced, but although all of them fought fiercely, but none of them could stand against him. He overpowered them one by one, and he went right into the Himalayas, and from the Himalayas there are regions by which one can go to the higher planets, and there he went to the kingdom of the higher beings. And there, those who were guarding him, he said, "Oh Arjuna, as a human being, you cannot go any further. You are a godly person. Why do you want to violate the laws which are there about the universal functioning? The humans cannot go beyond this. What do you want?" So Arjuna said that, "I simply want to establish the imperial glory of Yudhishthira. He is going to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice, and I would like to have you providing tribute." He said, "Surely we will come. We know that all of you are great devotees, all of you Pandavas are great devotees of the Lord. So no need for you to fight anymore over here. We will provide abundant gifts to you. And moreover, even if you come this way, you will not be able to see anything over here, because the things over here cannot be seen by mortal eyes." So actually, when we talk about the higher planets, they are not just simply higher in a geographical sense. You know, when we talk about up, we normally say that heavens are up. But what does up mean? It's not in the simplistic geometric or geographical sense. Because say India and America are roughly, we could say, antipodal. So antipodal means on the opposite side of the earth, approximately. So the up for India and the up for America are opposite. So if heaven is up, what is up then? It's two opposite directions. Are there two heavens or what? So actually that up is in a karmic sense. You know, the living beings in the upper planetary systems have done better karma, and because they have done better karma, they live accordingly at higher levels of existence. So there they have bodies also of different nature, which we cannot see. Normally, when the devatas also come, unless they grant the vision, we cannot see them. So many times when fire sacrifices are performed, the devatas are extremely pleased with the fire sacrifices. Then when they accept the sacrificial offerings, they become visible. And they visibly, in their visible manifestations, they accept the sacrifices. Other times, the devatas don't manifest themselves. And in invisible form, they accept the sacrifices. So the point is that we cannot see the devatas even if we can somehow trespass into their arenas. So Arjuna, he returned from there, and actually it was the celestial jewels that Arjuna got from the heavens, and they also give so many jewels. That was one of the triggers for Duryodhana's envy. He said, "Even if I do a sacrifice like this, I'll not get jewels like this." So then of course the whole series of fateful events happened, in which the gambling match took place, and Bhima was so angry with Yudhishthira that he wanted to burn the hands of Yudhishthira. It was Arjuna who checked him at that time. Arjuna told him, Arjuna himself was both distressed and enraged. He was distressed at the plight that they were going through and enraged at those who were causing this plight. But still, Arjuna, as compared to Bhima, Arjuna was cool-headed. And he said, "Oh brother, how have such words come from you? You know that Yudhishthira has gambled not because of greed, but because he has been instructed to do so by the elders, especially the king." Here he refers to king as Dhritarashtra. And he calms him down. "Do not give pleasure to our enemies now by letting them see the signs of dissension within us." So both ways, by first reminding from the virtuous point of view to Bhima, and then by reminding him from the point of view of don't give joy to their enemies. So from both perspectives, Bhima calms down. He says, yes, Arjuna, what you're saying is right. If it were not true, then already I would have wreaked havoc in this match and Yudhishthira would not be, I would not have waited so long for interfering. And then later on, when eventually the things go too far, at that time various Pandavas take vows. So that time Arjuna takes the vow that I will kill Karna. Karna was the person who suggested that Draupadi be brought in for being disrobed. And Karna was the person who opposed Vikarna and silenced Vikarna when Vikarna tried to say that the dragging in of Draupadi was wrong and the whole gambling match was incorrect. So Arjuna took that fearsome vow and Arjuna departed from the with the Pandavas. And then when they were living in the forest, it was agony for all the five Pandavas. And of course, all the more so for Draupadi, because she had been humiliated and she couldn't see her husbands who were meant to live in royalty suffering like this. And they couldn't see her who was meant to live in royalty suffering like this. And as they were living like this in the forest in great agony, so at that time they were thinking, at that one time Bhima got very angry. And Bhima said, you know, why are you sitting silent over there? Our enemies are prospering and why should we stay over here like this? So he said that, let us attack the Kauravas and win back our kingdom. So Yudhishthira talked a lot from various perspectives and finally he told him that, you know, that we don't have any weapons now. And if we don't have any army right now, we are just five of us. And they have so many weapons, they have so many Maharathas, they have such an army. Do you think we can fight right now with them? So Bhima became silent and all the Pandavas became worried. At that time Vyasadeva came over there. And Vyasadeva told them that I intuited what you are thinking about and I want to help you. I'll tell you a means by which you can all increase your strength. And then he took Yudhishthira aside and told that I will give you special mantras called the Pratismriti mantras. And I will initiate you in these mantras and then you can initiate Arjuna in these mantras. And with these mantras one can move very fast and Arjuna can go northward towards the Mandara mountain and from there he can go to the heavens. And there after meeting the Devatas and satisfying them through austerity, he can get their weapons. And with those weapons Arjuna will be equipped to fight and overpower any foe on the earth. And after saying this, Vyasadeva departed and he told Pandavas, you also do not stay over here for too long. Otherwise, you will disrupt the ecological balance over here. You know, if too many animals get killed, that will disrupt the balance. So, move to some other place. And then Yudhishthira waited for some time. Now, he could not tolerate the thought of being separated from Arjuna. And yet he knew that that was the only way that if Arjuna got weapons, that was the only way they may be able to get back their kingdom. So finally, when it could not be put off anymore, he called Arjuna aside, told him the mantras and told him Vyasadeva's instructions. Then he came back and then they told the plan. And all the other Pandavas were grief-struck, especially Draupadi was heartbroken. She said, oh Arjuna, I pray that we never take birth again in this warrior class where we have to undergo so much suffering. And we, the ascetics, who have no attachment to material things and so can live peacefully. But I am not detached like that. And I suffer every day thinking about the humiliation that I had to undergo at the hands of Duryodhana and Dushyasana. But my suffering today is greater than what it was at that time, because today I'll be separated from you. Once you have gone away, you know, we will live by thinking about you at every moment. And you, all our hopes rest in you. Go and may all success be yours. And there were tears in Draupadi's eyes. Arjuna was her favorite among the Pandavas. And she could not bear the thought of separation from him for who knows how long. And Arjuna smiled at Draupadi. He circumambulated his brothers, and taking the blessings of Yudhishthir, he departed. He started walking towards the north, and he found himself energized, and his steps like giant leaps. In a short while, he found himself a long distance away. He reached the Mandara mountain and started swiftly climbing up. And as he came to a plateau, suddenly he heard a powerful voice. "What are you doing here? This is a place for ascetics." He turned around and he saw a tawny colored, effulgent Brahmin sitting there in meditation. And his Brahmin said that, "You know, you are obviously from the warrior class. Why have you come here? Anyway, this is a place for meditation and asceticism. Put aside your weapon and sit and meditate over here." And Arjuna said, "I have no intention of ever putting aside my weapons." He said, "I am here in service of my brother Yudhishthir. And for his sake, I need to fight the war. And for that, I have to keep my weapons with me. I will not give up those weapons under any circumstances." And seeing Arjuna's devotion to his duty, Indra was pleased. And Indra, this Brahmin was pleased, and he said, he revealed that, "I am Shakra, the king of the god." Shakra is another name for Indra. And he said, "I am pleased by your devotion to duty. What do you want, O Arjuna? Tell me." Arjuna was delighted. He was thinking that, "Now from here I'll have to go to heavens and then see Indra. I don't know how and when I'll be able to see him. But here, right at the beginning, I have been able to see Indra." He offered his respects and he felt delighted at his good fortune. After having so much misfortune, one after another, now this good fortune was like a God-sent gift. And he said, "I would like to have your weapons so that I can fight in the war." Indra smiled. And he said, "I can give you residence in heavens. Why are you asking for these weapons?" Arjuna's voice became loud and angry. He said, "How can I ever think of abandoning my brothers who are living in forest in misery and enjoying heavenly planets? Fie upon one who abandons his relatives like this in such a situation. How can I abandon my duty? It's impossible. Please give me your weapons." Again, after hearing this response, Indra was pleased. So Indra tested Arjuna in two ways. First is by offering him the pleasures, the peace and the pleasure of a relatively austere but still peaceful and tranquil life in the mountains. And then he offered him another temptation, a life of enjoyment in the heavens. And Arjuna remained fixed in his duty despite temptations. And actually, that is how our life is. At different times in our lives, on the path of duty, we will be tempted by various allurements. And the way we can persevere and move onwards, that is the test of our devotion. That is the test of our duty. So Arjuna said, "Yes, sure." Indra told Arjuna, "I will surely give you my weapons, but not now." He said, "Ascend higher and do austerities to please Shiva. And once you have pleased Shiva and he gives you his weapons, then my charioteer will come and he will take you to the heavens, and there he will give you weapons." So when Arjuna heard this, he was delighted, and Indra disappeared right from his eyes. Arjuna moved upwards. Actually, Arjuna was thinking of moving upwards, but then he thought, "This is the place where the Brahman has sat. Indra has himself sat. So let me sit here and start performing austerities." And Arjuna sat there. Indra had told him basically not to go up, but to perform austerities for satisfying Shiva. And then Arjuna sat and started performing austerities. For the first month, he ate fruit just once in 3 days. And in the second month, he ate fruit once in 6 days. In third month, he ate fruit once in just 15 days. Then for the fourth month, he just lived on air. He stretched out his arms up, standing on one toe, looking upwards at the sky and chanting mantras in praise of Lord Shiva. And as he chanted those mantras, because of his immense austerity, His body became effulgent like the sun. And in the higher planets, the devatas, rishis, they all became disturbed because Arjuna had become so powerful, so effulgent, so radiant with heat that nobody could tolerate it. And they all rushed towards Trinayana, Lord Shiva, who has three eyes. And they told him, Falguni is performing such austerities and it seems as if he'll burn the whole universe. Please stop him. Please do something about it. Please protect the universal order. So Lord Shankar smiled and he said, you don't have to worry about Falguni. He has no desire to attain the heavens. I know what he wants and I will provide it to him. And just reassuring the disturbed residents of the celestial planets, then Shiva himself came down. And as he came down, he decided to test Arjuna. And he assumed the garb of a hunter. And along with him, Uma was also there. She was also very beautifully adorned, but appropriately as a hunter's wife. And then there were the hobgoblins who also came with him, and their wives were there. They were also dressed, and the numerous followers, they all came. And as Arjuna was performing his austerities, chanting prayers to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva appeared over there. At that time, a Danava also appeared over there. And this Danava, he saw Arjuna meditating and he thought, this is a human, I'll kill him and I'll devour him. And thinking this, he took on the form of a boar. And in the form of a boar, he started charging towards Arjuna and roared out a challenge. Arjuna, hearing the voice, immediately grabbed his Gandiva bow, strung an arrow and pointed it at this boar. And he said, oh, you wicked one, although I have not provoked or harmed you anyway, still you dare to attack and kill me. I will punish you for this. And he just shot his arrow. At the same moment, Indra also took his bow and held the arrow. And he said, oh, hold off. I saw this animal first and he belongs to me. I will kill him. So Arjuna said, no, I have strung my bow first, I will shoot him. And he belongs to me. And both of them shot, Arjuna shot the arrow at the same moment. Shiva also shot the arrow. And both the arrows thudded into the animal, the boar first. And this Danava, who had thought that he was going to kill and get a feast, he got a double blow. He died on the spot. At that time, Shiva spoke. He said, who are you and what are you doing here? You are obviously a warrior, but you are wearing the garb of an ascetic. What is it that you are doing here? And Arjuna said, what are you doing here with all these followers? You are a hunter, but don't you have violated the universal codes of hunting. An animal whom I had targeted and whom I killed with my arrows, why did you target and shoot him also? I will punish you for this. So Shiva started laughing derisively and he said, do not take credit for what you have not done. It was I who had pointed my arrow first and it was I who killed, my arrow which killed him. Because you are so insolent, I'll punish you for this. And stand and fight, Shiva said. And then Shiva started shooting arrows. Arjuna shot arrows and the arrows collided and they kept shooting. Arjuna shot his best arrows and Shiva counted all of them. Arjuna was amazed. Arjuna took his better and better missiles and trained better and shot better. And although he counted Shiva's weapons, and many of Arjuna's weapons were not countered, they went right to Shiva. But he just disappeared into his body. Arjuna shot hundreds of arrows and they just disappeared into the body of Shiva. Arjuna was stunned. He said, who is this? This cannot be any ordinary hunter. An ordinary hunter will not be able to survive the onslaught of so many arrows with no damage at all. How is that possible? So he thought deeply, and as he was thinking, of course he was not pausing and thinking, he was just shooting arrows. Then he decided, this may even be a yaksha or a gandharva, but I will kill him. Unless he is Lord Shiva himself, he will not survive. And he started taking celestial weapons. And he shot all the celestial weapons, one by one. And they all went and just disappeared into the body of Shiva. Arjuna was baffled. And as he was shooting, and all his and his weapons were just getting disappearing. And suddenly he looked back and he saw his quiver, which was meant to be inexhaustible, had suddenly become exhausted. Now the inexhaustible quiver had come from Agni through Varuna. Now Agni and Varuna are both powerful gods, much, much more powerful than humans. But they are still less powerful than Shiva. So Shiva, while facing Shiva, the inexhaustible quiver no longer remained inexhaustible. It became exhausted. And seeing this, Arjuna was amazed. He says, who is this person? Started thinking, who is this person who has sucked away all my arrows? Not knowing what to do, Arjuna swung around his bow itself. And he charged towards Shiva and he hurled the bow at Shiva. And the bow just disappeared into Shiva's body. Then he took out his sword and he swung it and his sword also disappeared into the body. And then he was amazed. Arjuna was angry as well as fearful. Now Kshatriya doesn't become fearful very easily. But still this was uncanny. How could all his weapons just disappear like this? And then he raised his fist and he hit Shiva. And nothing happened and both of them started wrestling, pounding each other, best of their ability. Then Shiva caught Arjuna in a grip and Arjuna was beating, but the grip was overwhelming. And finally Arjuna used all his strength, just broke free. And as Shiva released him, Arjuna fell back, dazed, unable to see. His senses almost lost. He looked up in amazement. Who is this person? Nobody can have such power. Arjuna remembered that he had fought and countered all the gods at Khandava. So this person was definitely not an ordinary hunter. This was not even a god. He must be greater than all the gods. He must be Shiva. And thinking like this, immediately Arjuna withdrew and he made an image of Shiva. And he put some flowers on it. And as soon as the flowers fell on Lord Shiva, on the image of Lord Shiva, the flowers appeared on the head of this hunter also. Arjuna ran toward the hunter and he fell headlong and offered obeisances. He said, please forgive me, I did not recognize you. And Shiva got up. And Shiva lifted Arjuna up and he embraced him. He says, I am pleased with your strength and your valor. He says, they are almost equal to mine. You have no equal in the three worlds, Arjuna. I am pleased with you. Ask for whatever you want. And when he heard this, he said, please give me your Pashupat Astra. And when he asked for the Pashupat Astra, Indra, he smiled and he said, yes, I'll give it to you. This is a weapon which nobody in the three worlds can counter. And it is such a weapon that it can destroy whoever you send it at. But remember, this is a celestial weapon and it should be used only against celestials. If it is used against lesser beings, then it may even destroy the whole world. And this weapon is such that it can be discharged with the mind. It can be discharged by words. It can be discharged by the bow. And he says, it will be henceforth serving you just as it has served me. And in the Pashupat mantra, personified, appeared in front of Shiva, and Shiva handed Pashupat mantra to Arjuna, and seeing the stupendous feat, the celestials cheered, and actually the earth seemed to tremble to see that Arjuna had got this extraordinary power. Actually, when Arjuna had started performing his austerities, at that time the bugles had sounded in the sky and flowers had showered, indicating that he was doing a very auspicious thing which would eventually lead to victory. So as Arjuna received the gift from Lord Shiva, he offered profuse prayers to him. And actually Lord Shiva is another form of Vishnu only, just Vishnu by another name, some small difference is there. But just said that Vishnu Sahasranam, similarly in the Mahabharata, Shiva Sahasranam also. And Shiva is glorified by a thousand names. And many of the names of Shiva and Vishnu overlap. So just as milk and curd are non-different. They both come from the same source. And there are just little differences. Some acid is added and some transformation has taken place. So similarly, Lord Vishnu, when he accepts the mode of ignorance, a little bit, then that is Lord Shiva. No, he is not just another of the gods. There are many gods, but he's way, way above. And Lord Shiva is shown, is repeatedly revealed in the Mahabharata to be extremely powerful. And his power is revealed over here when that Arjuna who had defeated all the gods, he is found to be almost equal to Lord Shiva. So through this, both the glory of Shiva is demonstrated and the glory of Arjuna is also demonstrated. And as Lord Shiva disappeared, suddenly Arjuna saw that all the directions had become illumined. All the directions. And he saw from there, actually the four Lokpals came on the horizon. He saw that Kuvera was there. Then Yamaraj was there. Then Varuna was there. And Indra was there. Arjuna was actually just standing there, and Lord Shiva had appeared in front of him. Lord Shiva had blessed him, and then Lord Shiva had disappeared. And Arjuna was just looking at the spot where Lord Shiva had been standing, amazed, thinking that how blessed he had been to receive the darshan of Shiva, to receive his contact, to receive his blessings in the form of the Pashupatastra. Arjuna had been thinking that just having this Pashupatastra is such a blessing. Even if I cannot use it again in my future war, but just knowing it's that I have it in my position will give me so much confidence, will give me so much power. He felt as my victory is certain, he felt like that. And just as he was just dwelling on this good fortune at that time, he got further blessings. He got the vision of the four Lokpalas. And they all came and he said, and they all spoke benedictory words to Arjuna. He said, Arjuna, now that you are pleased Lord Shiva, he is the greatest of the gods. Following his blessings, we will all bless you. In fact, you are actually a celestial. You are Nara who has come on earth to do the work of the gods, and we will bless you. And then Varuna took his own paash. It was a Naga paash. It was a noose made of serpents, and it's a special weapon which can bind the strongest of enemies, and it can bind and choke to death. Deadly weapon. So Varuna gave his Naga paash, and then there is Yamaraj. Yamaraj on one side of his was death, another side was time. Both of them were personified, and Yamaraj looked fearsome with them. But Arjuna of course knew that he has not come for his death, he has come to bless him. And Arjuna was pleased to see him. And Yamaraj gave him his club. Such a formidable weapon that it could destroy anyone and everyone. The death-dealing club was there. And then Kuvera was there. And Kuvera gave him the Antadhan weapon. A powerful weapon which could just devastate and destroy the greatest of enemies. And Indra was smiling. And Indra told him that now that the Lokpalas, all of us have given you darshan, we will provide you weapons also. I will also provide you my weapons. But before that, I will take you to the heavens. And you will stay with me as my guest. You have performed enormous austerities. And you have pleased the great Shiva. And now you will come with me to the heavens. And there in the heavens, you will learn many, many things. And then seeing this, the four Lokpalas disappeared. And Arjuna was watching. At that time, he heard a thunderous sound. And he saw a giant chariot which looked almost like a city. And it was huge. It was filled. It was decorated with jewels. And it had so many horses. And there he saw the charioteer Maithili. And Maithili said, on the instruction of Indra, I have come. And I have come to take you to the heavens. And as Arjuna looked up at the majestic chariot with which he would go from here to the heavens, it was an extraordinary accomplishment. Normally, people go to the heavens only after they leave this body and go upwards. But Arjuna was going to go to the heavens in this very body. And yet Arjuna remembered, he looked down at Mount Mantar, from where he had performed his austerities, which had been his residence for the last several months, and where he had been blessed with darshan of so many great people. and he turned and offered his prayers to Mandar, his gratitude, and he sought the blessings of Mount Mandar so that his journey to the heavens would be successful. So Arjuna prays in the Mahabharata, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about this. Yattejasata Bhagavan Yudhishu Lapanir. Yattejasa, by his power. So although Krishna was not present over here, but Arjuna is remembering that actually it is by Krishna's blessing that I was able to achieve all this. Arjuna doesn't think, I performed so much austerity because of which I was able to get all this blessing. He says, Yattejasata Bhagavan Yudhishu Lapanir. So, Bhagwan Yudhishula Panir. Shula Pani is Trishul, Lord Shiva holds. Pani's hand. So that Lord Shiva who holds Trishul in his hand, what did I do? Vismapita Sagirjo Astramadan Nijamme. Vismapita. So, even Lord Shiva was astonished. What kind of prowess does this human being have? And his powers, nowhere have I seen a human being whose power is equal to mine. Sagirjo. And Girija is his wife, Parvati Devi. She was also there with Shiva, and she was also amazed to see the strength of Arjuna. Visma pita sa Girijo astra madan nijamme. And nija astra, Lord Shiva, he gives nija astra, Pashupata astra to me. Anye picham ham amunai kalevarena. Anye picham. And other devatas also gave their weapons to me. And then after that, as if that were not enough, amunai kalevarena. With these, in this very body, what happened? Prapto Mahendra Bhavane Mahadasanardham. Prapto Mahendra Bhavane. Mahendra refers to Lord Indra, the great Indra. In his Mahabhavane, his abode, Swarga, and even that in his palace, he attained. And not only that, we'll see that Indra actually invited Arjuna to come and sit on his own throne. So Arjuna sat right next to Indra on his own throne. Both of them sat together. Father and son, they sat together on the same throne. Mahadasanardham. Asanardham. The same throne of Indra, which is the throne of the god, of the greatest of the gods, of the administrative gods. Arjuna said, I went to this in the same body and attained that. And in fact, this was one of the things which struck terror in the heart of Dhritarashtra. He said, when he heard that Indra, that actually Arjuna in this very body has gone to heavens, he says, what kind of person is this? What kind of power does he have? And what hope is there for me and my sons in fighting against them? Such is the glory of Arjuna. We will discuss more about his accomplishments and his adventures in heaven in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.